Today is December 5th, 1994. And today my interview will be with Tommy Frost. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Good afternoon, Clarence.
Thank you for allowing me to interview you, Tommy. Could you just kind of like give me a little bit of history where you were born and where at, and how long you've been here in Kodiak area?
I was born July 24th, 1920, at the Frognack, Alaska, and lived there till 1937, and moved over here to Kodiak in September of 1937, and have been here since.
Yeah, you know, I used to work with your craft, and you've had a pretty illustrious career in Kodiak, and well known. Something I'd like to do, Tommy, is go back and talk about your military service. You had some interesting stories, and it was that time when Kodiak was still pretty small. So maybe we could start by saying, when did you go in the Army? What year? And you can take it from there. Okay.
I was drafted August 1st, 1943, and served right here in Kodiak in the U.S. Army in the Harborcraft Detachment, stationed at the old city dock, and which was known then as the Army Dock, Army Transport Service. And naturally, we were on boats, which the Army had taken over from different canneries, processing plants, and we served the outposts around the island. Mm-hmm. And
did you go any place else other than Kodiak? Did you go down to Kane or?
And finally, June 1st of 1945, I was transferred to Nome, Alaska, and left Kodiak and went down to Unalaska and were there about a couple of weeks, and we headed for Nome and wound up at Teller, Alaska, and where they built a landing field for the Army plane on Cape Spencer, and remained there the whole summer. I run a tug, and 65-foot tug, and remained there till 5th of August, and headed back to Unalaska. And after a month in Unalaska, we headed for ADAC, and run between ADAC and ETCA, hauling freight, building material. They were rebuilding, the contractors were rebuilding the village of Atka at that time.
Okay, yeah.
And then, after Thanksgiving in 45, we headed to Attu. And we were hauling freight from Attu to Shinya, and spent Christmas in Attu, New Year's, and finally left that to middle about the 10th of March and headed back to ADAC. And about that time, why we were being ready to be discharged.
Mm-hmm.
So we headed for, we had to make one more trip to ATCA. I hauled a bunch of building material there, and in just a few months, why they had about 10 or 15 of the new homes built, which were modern. They had electric lights. They had all the
inside music,
bathroom facilities, and they were modern homes at the time, and were built very, very sturdy. And then we went back to ADAC and headed for Dutch Harbor. And we were in Dutch Harbor for about a week, and of course I met my good friend there. He was my company commander here while I was stationed in Kodiak and was transferred to Unalaska, and he was promoted to captain. He was Captain Henderson from state of Georgia, and he was a fine gentleman. He said that he showed me a wire that he had gotten from headquarters at Fort Richardson, or Eielson, that we were to be stationed, or he could hold the first boat that arrived in Dutch Harbor in Alaska for 2 months. And he says, I know you want to get home, so I'll nail the next boat that hits this port. So he released us and let us go, and we headed to Kodiak. We were here for 3 nights. Mm-hmm. And the first night we were here was April Fool's Day in 1946, and they were expecting a tidal wave.
Oh, my goodness.
So we couldn't come to town that night, and we were at Anchor Rock in Woman's Bay, and all the small craft tied up alongside of the boat that I was on, which was a 150-foot FS boat, and as it turned out, the tide only came up 1 foot, no tidal wave, but it did damage Cape Sarachup, and they lost several Coast Guardsmen there at the station. So we were allowed to come down the next day. We spent a couple nights in town, and my friend Charlie Christofferson was along with us, and we spent 2 nights in town, and he went back aboard the ship and headed for Seward. And lo and behold, we were held in Seward because they had a snow slide, and the trains weren't running. So after they cleared the snow slide, after 2 weeks being there, we took off on the train to Anchorage, and was discharged to Fort Richardson on April 15th, 1946. And, of course, we only had one flight a week from Anchorage to Kodiak on P&A. And we had to stay in Anchorage for 3 days waiting for the flight. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday of that week, but we were in Anchorage for 3-4 days, city of Anchorage, and headed home, and I've been here ever since.
So I guess, Tommy, what was your rank? When you discharged, what was your rank?
I was a master sergeant.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a good rank. I guess there were a lot of very well known names in the Kodiak at that time. There was Buckner, and there was I think his name was Erickson. Was he the one that they had that they named the Simia Air Base after him? Erickson, was it? Something like that? I can check that. And also, there was a guy named Squeaky Anderson that you mentioned. Did you ever meet Squeaky, and maybe you could tell me a little bit about him?
We had, Buckner was commanding general of all of Alaska military, and here in Kodiak at Fort Greely, we had the General Corlett,
mm-hmm.
who was the commanding officer of the armed forces, the Army, at Fort Greely, and and of course, we had the Navy base and we had the submarine base. And I knew Squeaky Anderson. I fished for his company.
This is before
the war. I fished for his cannery in 1938 and 1939. I worked for him at the cannery before the fishing season started, Clarence, and got to know the gentleman very well. He was of Norwegian descent and was a good man to work for. If you performed your duties and worked well, he could back you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And our good friend Tommy Gallagher was the cook at the cannery and put out very good food. And of course, the cook them days had to be the baker also. And I fished with Albert Rett, who's no longer here. Bless his soul, he was lost during the tidal wave here. And we pushed in Carlick and Red River and Alatac, and got to know Squeaky very well. And later, when the war broke out, Squeaky made a name for himself. On the Aleutian Islands, he was advanced to the rank of Commodore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think which is only, by the way, is a wartime commission. And he ran the YP fleet in, on the Aleutian chain, and he was later transferred to the Pacific Islands. And I couldn't remember where, but I remember reading the only part I ever read in this book that just, I can't remember who wrote it, what was it, A Thousand Mile War. Thousand Mile War. Was the only section I read was on Squeaky Anderson. And his saying was, hell's bells, we've got to get going. Hell's bells, we've got to get going. He used that same verse at the cannery.
Mm-hmm.
When the fish would come in, heavy, he'd smother. Hell's bells, we've got to get going. And he did that during the war. He made a name for himself.
The guys that, at the time that you were in the service, there were a lot of other local guys from here that went in. Did they serve with you? Could you tell probably some of the names of the people that were in the service with you at that time from Kodiak here?
To name a few that were drafted before myself was Mose Malutin, Jacob Aga, Billy Hubley, the late Billy Hubley, and Jacob Lectonen, Jr. from Carlock, and my gosh, it's hard to think of the names right off, and my friend that was drafted with me, now lives in Anchorage, was Henry Sanguinetti.
Okay. Thinking about that experience in that time of your life, Tommy, reflecting back on it now as you have, what insight did that give you, you know, as to, it's like preparing you for other things in life that you did? You know, like I know you've been mayor, you worked for Kraft for how many years did you work for Kraft?
Well, I tell you, the military was, it depended on the individual. I remember before I was ever drafted, parents used to say, well, now that my son enlisted or was drafted, we'll come out a bum. But that's not so, Clarence. It's up to each individual, whether you're in the service, the military service, or working for the government as a civilian, or no matter where you work. It's up to the individual to make or break your self. You have to just get in there and work and be responsible for your position. And a lot of times we flubbed our dub, made the wrong decision, but we only did that once. And we learned from our mistakes, and we learned from our errors, and this is the way life is supposed to be. And I always remember my godfather and godmother and uncles and aunts in a fog neck would say, always use common sense, and do not be afraid to work.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back a couple of years before the Army. You just touched on, my mother was born in a fog neck, and so maybe you could tell me a little bit about before you came to Kodiak, if you can remember a few things about a fog neck way back then and before you came to Kodiak, you know. What kind of life was it? You know, you probably did a lot of things I did when I was a kid, walked the beaches, you know, and this was really close to nature over there, I would imagine, you know.
Well, living in a fog neck was something that you never forget. It was wonderful. We had to carry water, no electric light, no oil stoves, had to chop wood, chop your killing wood, do your chores every day, and before we could go out and play, and the schools were... We had a school in a fog neck when I started school in 1926 or 27. We had a high school in a fog neck. And in 1932, they built a new school and did away with the high school. and to remember some of the names in Apogneck that were our leaders of our village over there were the Sheratines. Nikolai Sheratine was my granduncle, and Andrei Sheratine, who was my granduncle and my grandfather, Tiefen Sheratine, who was the reader at the church, the Russian Orthodox Church. We only had the one church there then, and it was a nice village. We had the two villages of Apogneck, and on the other side was Aleutown. We all got along fine, and we had three grocery stores there, and Kodiak only had two. We had three.
There was Patellin's,
Von Scheele's, Herman Von Scheele,
and then the
Mr. Pyoman.
There you go, Pyoman.
Mr. Charlie Pyoman.
Well, Tommy, you know,
Clarence, I forgot. One of the most outstanding person in Apogneck was our Russian Orthodox priest, Father Gerasim. He was a marvelous man. He came to Apogneck when he was a young man, and I remember him from the time I was 3 years old. And he baptized all of us, and just watched over us. And of course, you know, all the services were in Russian, and no English. And but he was an outstanding man.
Well, Tom, you know, I really appreciate you giving me this information. I know that that's only a part of many, many things you've done in your life. I know you've been mayor of Kodiak, and you've worked for Kraft for so many years down there. And you're so well-known in Kodiak and so well-respected. So I'd just like to thank you for this interview. And again, thank you, Tommy.
Thank you very much, Clarence, for even considering me. Thanks very much.